Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We are so glad you're here. Good morning, everyone. Smile. Smile. The Fantasy Island. Only none of us are wearing white tuxedos.
And none of us are on an island. We're in Minnesota.
That's right. Well, there's a reality check right there.
Thank you, Mike, for cutting off the music right there. That was perfect. We're in Minnesota.
Lex is off for a couple days. I'm here with my buddy Don and buddy Mike, and I could go on and stall as long as humanly possible, but you know what? Just like your Sears bill, it's going to come regardless. Time for second chance romance.
Yeah.
Let's say hi to Spencer, right? Spencer on line one.
Yeah. Hey.
Hi, Spencer. How you doing?
Hey, how are you? I'm, you know, I could be a little bit better, but, you know, I'm hanging in there.
Okay, good, good. Well, tell us about your date, please.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I went on a few dates with this woman I met named Christy. And honestly, I really can't stop thinking about her. The reason I need your guys' help is because my sister actually, going back to this segment that you guys have, just because she's kind of in a situation where she's ghosting me a little bit, and I'm just hoping she won't ghost you guys. I just don't know what's going on, because, I mean, she's a sweetheart, and she's caring, and she's curious, and, you know, she wanted to travel. She was talking about that on our date and, you know, go on new experiences, and I honestly kind of want someone like that in my life that's going to push me to do things, so... Oh. I just kind of need your guys' help.
Okay, so you went out with Christy, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, what happened on your date?
I mean, we went to Lucky's 13 Pub. You know, we just went out to eat. I usually take dates to that place just because, you know, on a date, you don't know how long or how brief you're going to be there for, and they actually have really nice booths.
Oh, I love Lucky 13 in Roseville, yes.
Hi, Charlie. Yeah. I love them, too. Yes, they're good people.
It's really nice. It's like, I feel like it's like a hidden gem.
Yeah, it is.
We just had really good conversation when we were there. Of course, the food was great. You know, she was touching my arm when we were talking. And yeah, right? So I figured those were really good signs. And we're across the table from each other. So she's going to kind of reach to do that.
Yeah.
She even laughed out loud.
She laughed out loud. Do you remember what you said where she touched your arm? It was like something about, I don't know. That's probably too far to ask, but.
No, I'm going to be honest. I don't fully remember.
It's all right.
What exact moment it happened. Okay. Because I was busy like, oh, she's touching my arm.
But Spencer, on that note, though, on like remembering, on remembering back, and I know that Dawn asked you to look inside yourself. Did anything weird happen on the date? Did, you know, did you start doing the Pledge of Allegiance all of a sudden? Did you, you know what I mean? Did anything odd happen?
Did you keep going back to that popcorn bin over and over again?
No. Okay, I was too paranoid about that stuff getting stuck in my teeth in case the date went really well.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, there was no point in which I could say the Pledge of Allegiance or stand on my head or do anything bizarre. Really nothing strange happened at all. And I was really thinking about it, you know, because I mean, hey, I'm not perfect. And sometimes maybe I don't make the best first impression or something. I think I do. I think I'm kind of great, but you know, you never know what someone else might think. And I mean, I really can't think of anything. And I've really been racking my brain. I honestly think it was a perfect date, which is kind of why I want to see her again.
Okay.
But
I mean, we even matched, right? Like, when we showed up, like, we happened to both be wearing red sweaters and jeans, which I thought was strange. So, I don't know, guys. I just need help.
Okay. So what happened after the date? How did the date end?
Well, so I walked her to her car. Mm-hmm. You know, I always want to be a gentleman. And it was late. And I said that I had a really fun time with her, and I'd love to take her out again. But I got nothing. And I didn't think that was, like, too soon to say that. I mean, it's the end of the date. You know, it's not like I'm saying it in the middle or beginning. Because I was thinking maybe that was it. But I just, I don't know, guys. This one's a stumper. I just really don't know.
Okay.
Well, that's why we're here. We're going to help you out. So we're going to put you on hold, Spencer. And we're going to get Christy. Christy's on hold. Now, here's the deal. She's heard nothing. All she knows is that we are going to call.
He doesn't really know this segment because his sister listens to my talk. So
So she's on hold. Spencer, she's on hold, but she's heard nothing. And all she knows is that we do segments about dates. So she just knows we're calling about a date. She doesn't know it's about you. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so hold on just a second, okay? Thank you.
I just worry because he says nothing happened that was weird. Like, he can't think of one single thing that went wrong, and that is a bad sign.
Mm-hmm. Look inside, like Mufasa said, look inside. No, it's Rafiki. Look inside yourself. Okay, let's go to Christy. Hi, Christy.
Hey, guys.
Hi. You're live on the air. This is Jason, Dawn, and Mike. Okay. Thanks for doing this. We won't take up too much of your time. Hi. So you know that we're calling about a date. So do you remember going... Yeah. Do you remember Spencer?
Oh, this is about Spencer?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I hoped it was Ryan. I mean, I can tell you straight out, Spencer's a pig.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, no. God, I'm scared. Okay, so you like a guy named Ryan, but Spencer was definitely a no for you. Can you tell us why you're not calling him back? Like, what happened?
I mean, like, our date was okay, but at the end, he asked for my phone number.
Okay.
Because, like, we'd only messaged through Match before that.
Right.
So instead of me just saying my number, he hands me his phone. He's like, here, put your number in, right? But we were, like, chatting at the time. So when I go to actually, like, put in my digits, like, the screen, like, it wasn't on my name anymore, right? So I have an iPhone. I'm just like, okay, I know how to do it. Like, he has one, too. I go in. I put a K in, right, to, like, start typing my name. And I literally see, like, Kristen, Christine, Chris, like, all of these names, okay, which is, like, whatever, but he has their last names as things like 10 in bed or, like, don't answer, .. lazy, like,
oh, God!
Average. Yeah, and that was just, like, the K name. Like,
you didn't scroll down the alphabet.
Oh, my God.
I went a little bit. It was, like, like... It grossed me out. He's disgusting.
I hate even asking this because, hello, that to me would be a deal breaker. But at anything else other than that, any other juicy details, anything? I mean, not that you can get much more juicy than that. But yeah,
I mean, that alone right there, we're definitely not saying you should have called him back.
Yeah, you know what I mean, Christy. Anything else to add to the...
Yeah, I mean, like, nothing juicy, no. It was, like, before that, I thought we were having a good time, and I was like, okay, yeah, like, it'd be fun to see him again. Like, you know, we had good conversation and everything, but I just, like, I don't know. On my way home, I was thinking more about it, and I just, like, can't get past the part where, like, he just objectifies all these women, like, so blatantly. Mm. And it's like, okay, that's what your date boils down to. Like, I thought we had a good time, but, like, okay, we hook up, and then what do I end up in your phone as, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
And honestly, like, not to bring the mood down a little bit, but, like, my dad just passed away recently, and I just kind of, like, I guess reevaluated, like, what I'm doing, like, who I spend my time with, and, like, I don't know, when it comes to Spencer, it's like, yeah, that could have been fun, but it's just like drama. It's gross. I'm not interested.
Oh boy.
Well, Christy, you've had enough drama, so I'm going to just tell you right off the bat. We obviously got your info from Spencer, and we actually have Spencer on the other line. Spencer?
Hi. Hi, Christy.
Hey, Spencer.
Dude, I don't understand why you were going through my phone. Like, I just gave it to you so you could put in your contact.
Okay, dude, I was not going through your phone. I was trying to add my contact like you asked me to, okay? But when it says, like, you know, Christine Loud in bed as her last name, okay. Like, I'm obviously something that kind of stands out. Oh, God. Like, what do you expect me to think about that?
I don't expect you to see it, okay? Because you're not supposed to, okay? That's notes for me because, I go on a lot of dates and I want to make sure that I remember which person I'm talking to and you know, and when I gave you the phone, I just wanted you to put in your first name, okay? I would have put perfect next to you, like you know, you're good, like it wasn't about you.
Okay,
but I just, it doesn't sit right with me, like how you talk about other people, even if that's like how you felt about me. And I don't know what happened with your phone. I certainly wasn't trying to go through it, but I, at this point, I'm regretting I even gave you my real number. Like, after seeing that, I probably shouldn't have.
No.
Christy, I can't help that I go on a lot of dates. Okay, that's how I remember them. Okay, people have different systems or whatever, right? Or mnemonic devices, or I don't know, right? So.
Loud in bed is not a mnemonic device.
No. Okay. Yeah. No, it's not. That was an example. I'm not creative that way. I don't think of that kind of stuff. So I just thought maybe if I just typed it out. Once again, I literally only thought I was going to be seeing this. Okay. Okay. Like, come on. Like, look,
okay.
Look.
Christy, how
we
you
had
feeling?
A great date.
Yeah.
Okay. We had fun conversation and I just don't want you to judge me off of this one misgiving that I have, right? They don't mean anything to me. They're just names in a phone.
Christy.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I think I'm good here.
So, okay. So I guess I'll ask this time.
Yeah, go ahead.
You aren't interested in going on another date.
No.
Okay.
No.
Spencer.
And that's a no for me too, because you know that was really invasive what she did, and I mean she's just not getting
oh my
that
God.
It's not
so you're
going to
blame this on
it's
me
not.
Now.
What some okay. people journal, okay? People like take notes, yeah. like a way of taking
okay.
notes through your day.
I also
okay,
so it's like I put okay. All right.
Guys, thank you so much.
Oh my gosh,
thank you.
Boy.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Have a good fall, everyone. Thank you, Christy, for being a good sport. Spencer, thank you, buddy. Sorry we couldn't help you.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Oh, my God. Okay, I have to admit something here. I used to date younger guys, like,
me too.
Kind of like, you know, when I was 34 or whatever. Yeah. And so I would name them, like, 26 in my phone. I would put, like, Connor, 26. Yeah. Rick 27.
Yeah. That's different though, dog.
Because it was a joke between my friends and I, and it would come up and ring and it would just say 27.
Yeah.
And then the notes it would say like, you know, Connor.
Yeah. It's very different, dog.
Is it?
It's very different.
I'm objectifying young men.
No, it's fine.
I don't do that anymore.
No. Well, obviously.
I have a boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, there we go. There's second chance romance, everyone.
God help us.
Okay. When we come back, it's the Dirt Alerts right after this.
This is a My Talk.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Dirt alert.
We are the home of everything entertainment, so it is our obligation to give you the biggest stories and entertainment in the Dirt Alerts.
Yes. Okay, we lost a radio legend. This is before, you know, Casey Kasem. I'm talking about the oldest of the DJs, Art LeBeau. He was 97 years old. His representatives said that he was diagnosed with pneumonia 2 weeks ago in Palm Springs. He passed away with his family nearby. He is prolific in radio because he was a DJ in San Francisco. He started when he was 18 years old. He's the one who started Dedications. Like, he is the one. He is the one who coined the phrase oldies but goodies. Which is huge. And then after his San Francisco gig, he moved to L.A. where he started doing these live DJ shows at drive-in movie theaters. So people would come. It was Latino fans, black people. It was white people together. And his shows were so popular. A lot of people credited him with helping end segregation in Southern California. So he was creating events out of taking the radio and then saying, let's all get together and do something. And they'd play music out there. And, you know, that was a big deal. This was during World War II when he started taking Dedications. And then, you know, into the 50s, he was doing these live events in L.A. I believe my parents mentioned that they had been to some because I'm a Californian.
Yeah.
My family is from California, and I was born there. So Art LeBeau, big deal. We've lost him, and, you know, it's just, this is the time when we lose the greatest of the legends.
Oh, Dedications.
Yeah.
Casey Kasem wouldn't have had a career without that.
Exactly. He was the original guy who really just broke through the radio and connected with the audience. So RIP Art LeBeau. Kanye, I don't want to talk about that. Oh, Kathy Hilton. Here's more on the Kathy Hilton, Richards thing. Because if you have just not caught up on this story, because of the Beverly Hills reunion, is that tomorrow night or Thursday?
It's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Okay. The reunion show is going to be explosive.
Yeah.
They've shown clips where Kyle Richards is crying. Kathy is also very upset. And then Kathy commented on a podcaster's post that said he felt really concerned for Kyle Richards. And she said, why? I'm the one who was persecuted the whole season, which he spelled persecuted wrong and people were making fun of it. But so more on this. So she claims everything is good between her and Kyle after this massive drama. Yes. Now, she was at the Beverly Hilton on Saturday night. She was attending this Carousel of Hope ball with her husband, Rick. Fans were jumping at the opportunity to take pictures with her. And people said, you know, that they heard fans say, is everything okay with Kyle? And then she quickly replied, yeah, that's my sister. I love her. So at least we have that.
I wonder if Kyle agrees.
I think Kyle was just so desperate to keep the relationship with her sister going that she was going to go ahead and dismiss some of the things that she did, you know, just to say, let's just drop it. I want to have a relationship with my sister. So coming from Kathy's mouth this last weekend, everything is okay. And they patched things up. You know, I wish almost, like, we haven't even seen the reunion yet. I wish we had a special edition, what happened after the reunion.
Yes.
So the reunion after the reunion.
The reunion, yes.
They're just checking in with people. It's just, would be a triple layer.
Considering that nobody stayed for a picture, nobody did the toast, which is not common.
Oh, yeah.
They all left.
It's bizarre. In other news about Real Housewives, NeNe leaks her 23-year-old son, Brent. You probably remember him as a young teen on the show.
Yeah.
He had a heart failure and a stroke earlier this month. He's just 23. So, boy, of course, she's just so upset about it.
Yeah.
And
so
she put
young.
That. Yeah. And, you know, his father, was Peter his father? He died of heart disease.
Greg, you mean?
Oh, Greg. I'm sorry. Greg. Not Peter. Peter is Cynthia's husband.
Yeah, I think so. I think Greg was his father.
Yeah, serious heart disease. So, oh.
So bad.
Love going out to them.
Yep. We love you, NeNe. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my big fat movie review of Bros next.
It's Oprah.
She is so wise.
Out of context.
I'm not lesbian. I'm not even kinda lesbian.
That was Oprah.
Did she really say that?
Out of context.
That's right, Oprah. Every woman, but I'm not every lesbian. Welcome back, Jason. Jason and Alexis in the morning. Right here on My Talk and streaming around the globe on our My Talk app or on your favorite home device that I won't say
because
it will activate them. That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm Jace with Dawn and Mike. Alexis is taking a few days off. I had an unusual, well, not an unusual. We've been doing it, and I love it. Because, you know, when you think of a date night, you don't often think of Mondays. Mondays suck. Who the hell looks, who looks forward to Mondays? But for the, there's been a couple Mondays recently where my husband and I have decided, you know what? We're going to buck the trend, Dawn. We're going to buck the trend.
I was scared there.
Yeah, I know. I said buck. We're going to buck the trend and have a Monday date night. And we did, which has led to a big fat movie review.
How was the movie?
My big fat movie review.
Today's movie is Billy Eichner's rom-com produced by Judd Apatow. And I'll get to Mr. Apatow in just a second. Bros. You've seen the headlines for various reasons. Maybe you know it because it's one of the big movie studios' first gay rom-coms to be greenlit and put in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you heard about it from a trailer.
Yeah.
Maybe you heard about it because of the dismal box office that it pulled in. And subsequently, maybe you heard about it because Billy Eichner blamed the audience.
Yeah, I was like, uh-oh, this is a little aggressive.
Yeah, that blamed straights for not coming out and gays for not taking the straights to the movie. The first thing I will say is, this is just a funny little observation that cracked Colin and I up almost more than the movie itself. We're sitting at the Showplace Icon Theater. And we're basically, Dawn, sitting in the exact seats that we were sitting in for Film Fest. So we're up in the balcony. And the Showplace Icon has a VIP theater. And the VIP area is a balcony. And then below it is just general admission seats that are looks like a traditional theater. We cracked up because we're sitting there. And my husband leaned forward to look down onto the main floor.
And among said, the common people.
Well, no, because it's all, you know. and he looked down and he goes, "You are not going to believe this." And he starts laughing. He goes, and he looked up at the balcony.
Yeah.
In the balcony.
What you're going to say.
In the balcony. Nothing but gay men.
Okay.
And then you look down and it's just a gaggle of lesbians. So it was gay men in the balcony and just little packs of lesbians.
You could tell that they were lesbian?
We smell our own, dog.
Oh,
we
my
smell
gosh.
Our own. Yes, we can tell. We can,
I don't know
yes.
if you should use that word.
We have tracking devices, too, that we get at headquarters. We can tell.
Yeah, we can't do that as straight people.
No, it's like a whale call. You know what I mean? We hear the sounds that each other makes, and only we can hear them. So,
okay, like a porpoise. Or,
exactly. Yeah, so gotcha. I was hearing the calls of lesbians from the main level. Okay, so that's the main observation. Here is my overall review.
Okay.
Dear Billy Eichner.
Oh, no.
People... We're not seeing the movie because they are afraid of a gay rom-com. they didn't go see this movie because it was a bad movie. That's why they didn't go see this. We almost walked out twice.
Are you serious?
Toward the end, yes.
It has really great scores on Rotten Tomatoes. It's 89% fresh and a 90% audience score, which is kind of like, that's unheard of.
Yeah. There are, those
weren't in Minnesota case.
Well, here's the positive. Okay. I want to lead with the positive.
Okay.
We did laugh out loud more than several times.
Okay.
There are some great cameos by Deborah Messing, Bowen Yang, Kristen Chenoweth. There are moments of genuine, and again, I make the joke, but it is based in reality. My husband laughs out loud about 48 times a year. He did laugh out loud. We did chuckle with each other more than a few times.
Okay.
So there are really funny moments. However, it is eclipsed to us by the fact that, once again, it is a gay movie that seems to have a legal pad full of cliches that need to be checked off.
Really?
So there's two big problems for me that almost shut the door on me of enjoying the movie. Okay. And I know I'm going to be in the minority because I have a lot of Twitter people, including our buddy Jace, that loves this movie. But here are my two pillars of problems. The first pillar is what I just said. One of the leads, of course, is a gym bro and goes to CrossFit or Barry's. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, of course they're obsessed with the gym. Another cliche. They go to Provincetown. Of course you're going to go to P-Town. Of course, 50% of the sex scenes are thruples or. And I know that all of this is threaded into gay culture. My point, and then another thing, maybe I'm in the minority, but I do have some straight friends. And this was just, I don't know. I'm being very clear here. And this isn't internalized homophobia. Don't write me. Oh, believe God. Me. I'm 48. Please. I've dealt with that in therapy because I checked myself. I did wonder before I said anything. But it was almost like everything. I'm not kidding. I leaned over to Colin. I'm like, goodness, we cannot go 4 seconds in this movie without saying the word gay. Everything was and I'm like, can we just be? I want a gay character that is just a character that happens to be gay.
Right. It's not the identity. You know what I mean by that? The character. Yes. I just read something on BuzzFeed about, like, here are some, not stereotypes, but here are some kinds of people that bother us because they just, some people just assume this is their entire identity. They're like wine moms, you know, like you drink wine and you're a mom, you know, and one of them on the list was gay people who see that as their whole identity. And I might and the person who wrote the article is like, I know this is probably going to be unpopular, but, you know, so you're saying that this movie was kind of like,
oh my goodness. Yes. And I get it. I'm thrilled that we are to a point where we are not just the witty gay best friend. I love that. We've moved beyond Jack McFarland. But I also think, again, I would like to see a movie where the gays don't go to P-Town. I would like to see a movie that doesn't focus on characters that are obsessed with the gym and that, I don't know.
Reinforcing stereotypes.
Yeah. And look, I believe in I say it all the time. Stereotypes exist for a reason because they are threaded in our culture. But I'm just telling you from my point of view as a gay man in his 40s that have grown up, that I have lived the majority of my life, well, my whole life, in the North or Midwest. It'd be great to see other representations, other shades of the rainbow, because this one was just kind of what we've seen before. and it was frustrating. Okay. And then the other pillar really quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Billy Eichner's lead character is very unlikable.
Uh-oh. Okay. He likes to do that trend, though. There's a great show on Hulu that probably I'm the only one that watched that I loved called Difficult People.
Okay.
With Billy Eichner and Julie Klausner is her name. And it was like two aspiring comedians living in New York. It's just like they're awful. They're kind of awful to people. And so he kind of likes to play. It's like a bad role. Or he likes to play kind of a jaded character.
Yes.
So is that what his character was?
Kinda.
Okay. And it was annoying.
And just, and like turbo gay. I always say that, like, I have, you know, like turbo Jesus, like turbo gay. And it just, and again, don't, this isn't internalized homophobia.
Well, I don't even know what that is. You can be homophobic as a gay man?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely.
And I have
checked. Yeah, I've checked myself. And again, years of therapy.
But, okay.
It's just, I wanted to see a movie without Barry's Workout Club.
And it's a comedy, so you have to remember they're not going to delve into a serious, you know, it's a comedy. But, hey, if that's your opinion, what would you give it? How many stars?
Two.
Two. Not even 2.5.
No, and I like Billy. I'm a fan. We were excited to go. Colin wanted to see this. I wanted to go see Smile, the horror movie, which I still want to go see. But I wanted to like this. This isn't fun for me. But again, there were chuckles, there were laughs, but the cliches closed the door for me. I'm like, of course you're in P-Town. Oh, look, a thruple. Oh, look, you know that. Oh, of course you're working at a gay museum. Of course, you know what I mean?
So you think it will reinforce stereotypes that shouldn't be there? Or
maybe.
Sorry I'm asking so many questions.
No, I'm glad you are.
Yeah.
Perhaps. So, anyway, there we go, bros. A disappointing review for me, but oh well. 8:44, we're going to take a break. We're going to wrap things up in the circus right after this.
And now on Jason and Alexis in the Morning, a message from our sponsor. From like the 70s or 80s.
It's Bar Search 85 as host Ed McMahon welcomes celebrity guests David Burney and Tom Jones on television's most entertaining hour. Catch all the action on the richest talent contest in America. The competition's tough, but worth $1.5 million to the performers who've got the look, and the talent to reach for the stars. Tomorrow's stars are singing, dancing, and laughing today on TV's Super Search for Superstars. Star Search 85.
Saturday at 11:30 on TV2.
This has been a Jason and Alexis classic commercial. We now return you to our regularly scheduled mediocre radio show.
Star Search 85.
A million and a half?
Yeah.
What?
Uh-huh.
In 1985?
Yeah.
I mean, Survivor is a million.
Yeah.
And look what you have to do to get through that.
You have to eat bugs.
You just
bugs
can,
and
like, do a, you know, a time step.
Yeah.
And a little song and dance and some seltzer in
Search.
Your pants for $1.5 million. God.
That's it. Nice Mary Tyler Moore reference there. Yeah, that was Ed McMahon hosting Star Search 85.
God. Oh, my God. We lived for Star Search, didn't we?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. That this one guy who sang Over the Rainbow, Sam. What's his name?
Oh, wow. Wow, that name.
You know what I mean?
I know.
People are yelling right now at their radio. Let me look it up.
Okay.
Sam Harris.
Sam Harris.
He had that cool Michael or George Michael hair, and he was pretty attractive.
Well, let me list off some celebrities that were on Star Search. Britney Spears, a very young Britney Spears. Kevin James.
Oh.
Beyonce.
What?
Yeah. Drew Carey. Justin Timberlake.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Christina Aguilera. Usher.
Usher. Wow, that seems late.
Alanis Morissette. Leanne Rimes was 8 years old. Aaliyah. She was 10 when she competed on Star Search in 1990. Okay. Mark Summers, who, you know, became a Nickelodeon host.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he would warm up the audience on Star Search. Martin Lawrence.
Mike, I put a YouTube link in the grid of Sam Harris. You'll immediately know who I'm talking about, Jason. Because he was kind of the biggest thing.
To come from
Star Search. I mean, just as far as an unknown.
Oh, yes.
You remember this guy. Like, oh, I do. When I think Star Search, I think of this guy.
Oh, yeah. There he is, Sam Harris.
People flipped out over that.
Yeah.
It's so affected, but still was so good. And then he had a career for a very long time.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Is he still alive?
I believe so. I think he's gay. Sorry. I feel like I can say that to you. It's Dawn, we aren't defining him by his sexuality.
No, Dawn, what gave you that impression? I don't know.
Well, you know, back in the 80s where people denied that gay people existed.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you know, and they're like, oh, Liberace, I'm in love with him. And you're like, okay, Aunt Carol.
Yeah.
You know.
My grandma loved Charles Nelson Reilly. He just needs to find a good woman.
Yeah.
He sure does, Grandma. He sure does. Sam Harris is alive.
Yes. I mean, he's not.
And he is married to Danny, a guy named Danny. So,
okay,
Dawn,
right.
You are right. Unlike Oprah, he is. Oh, wait. No, this is a different Sam Harris.
No.
This isn't.
Oh, you're talking about a neuroscientist, that Sam Harris?
Oh, God. Is this Star Search?
Okay. Sam Harris, Star Search. Oh, God, we only have a little time here. Let's figure it out.
Star Search, Sam Harris. There's another singer, Sam Harris?
Oh, well, that's too bad.
Oh, there are two.
Okay, Sam Harris is now gray.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his spouse, Danny Jacobson.
Okay.
And they have children.
Okay, yes. There we go. He's still alive and still gay.
Oh, he's so cute.
He is.
I got to check out his music. I mean, he had an amazing voice. It was just a little over-affected.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about Sam Harris tomorrow. That's going to do it for us. Go out there and be yourself because nobody can tell you're doing it wrong. Right, Dawn?
That's right. You be you. Oh, my gosh. Just fly your freak flag, I guess. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, Mike.
For 9 years, a dangerous man terrorized women, breaking into homes and raping his victims before killing a brilliant young scientist in 1998.
The more the victims resisted, the more violent he became.
Then he suddenly stops, leaving police with a lot of clues and one unknown subject.
I'm Paul Wagner. Join me for Unknown Subject, Season 3 of WTOP's American Nightmare podcast series. Search American Nightmare Podcast on all podcast platforms today.